You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Moving on now, the Human Rights Commission is calling for more inclusive design when considering shovel-ready projects in the COVID-19 rebuild. Disability Rights Commissioner Paula Tesorero has called on the government to ensure that accessibility and universal design will be considered in all stages of confirming those shovel-ready projects. I spoke to Paula to find out more about what they hope this will look like and why this is such an issue in the first place.
The Disability Rights Commissioner is a role which is a statutory role under the Human Rights Act, and the focus of the role is to promote and protect the rights of disabled New Zealanders. And we say disabled New Zealanders rather than people with disabilities because in New Zealand we subscribe to what's called the social model, which basically says I'm not disabled by the individual impairment that I have, but rather it's the barriers that society puts in place, be those physical barriers, information barriers, and a whole range of systemic barriers. And so what that hopefully focuses the mind on is everybody has a responsibility and an opportunity to break down those barriers for disabled people to meaningfully participate in life.
Absolutely. So I guess with that, and we're talking a lot about shovel-ready projects today, and that would be, I guess, construction. So could you give us a bit of an idea or some context to those barriers that you've just mentioned in a built environment?
Absolutely. So in New Zealand, we do not have fully accessible cities. And you know, those the sorts of barriers that can exist will be inaccessible entrances to buildings, be those public buildings, private buildings, the ability for disabled people to go to any restaurant of choice or any place of choice are often really restricted. And, you know, even being able to go and take your disabled child to a playground, you know, if that playground is not accessible and the built environment is not one that is accommodating, then actually everybody misses out. And it's not just about the individual disabled person missing out, it's wider members of their family who would be doing activities with them, and it's also society at large. You know, an inclusive society we know is better for everyone. And economically, it's much better if the owners or service providers of different places can get the widest number of people using their services and products.
Mm. And it's not even, I suppose, a matter of trying to understand the value of that, whether it be financially or socially. It's simply a matter of right or wrong whether any person can enter a public building. Or any building.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is about the ability to participate meaningfully in life. And when the built environment is constructed in such a way that it excludes disabled people, then we miss the opportunity to have a really inclusive New Zealand. And that's why I've taken the opportunity to really try and get some messaging out there as New Zealanders thinking about the rebuild of New Zealand in this COVID environment that we're in, to remind people that, you know, universal design is a way of making sure that buildings and infrastructure and services, signage, transport, you name it, all of those things can be much better when they are designed for as many people as possible.
Mm. And I guess, I want to come to the kind of future discussion, but I want to touch on that point about universal design, because it's my understanding that universal design is not actually, you know, like a compulsory thing as part of a consents process. Is that correct?
Yeah, universal design is really a way of incorporating design principles that are about designing something so that the maximum number of people can use it. And so in this case, it's about disabled people, it's about older New Zealanders, it's about families with pushchairs with babies in, it's you know, really trying to cater for the largest number of people. And so it's a design process that is used. And if you make buildings, you know, designed from that universal perspective, it's also easier much later to adapt them and make them very specifically accessible. So it also future-proofs buildings and infrastructure.
Mm. There was, I'm not sure if you remember this, but when they started with the Kiwi Build projects, for example, there was some concern that a lot of those buildings weren't universally accessible. Do you have thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. And look, I've been advocating with government for some time now around the Kiwi Build. There's a 15% target there of homes being universally designed. I'd like the target to be much greater. You know, the right to housing is a core fundamental human right. And in New Zealand, it's estimated that only 2% of our housing stock is accessible for disabled people, yet one in six people require some sort of modification to their home. So, you know, I have been inundated in my time in the role with stories of disabled people who simply cannot access housing to suit their needs. And so there are stories of people who don't have an accessible bathroom, so have to try and use a shower at work, or, you know, those sorts of things. And, you know, it's such a core fundamental right. And I think that we can do a lot better if we design with those universal principles in mind through our housing program.
Mm. And I guess, yes, going back to those shovel-ready projects, there are so many conversations happening at the moment about the way in which we choose to rebuild or kind of move forward from this crisis. And lots of people are saying it is an opportunity, right, to kind of maybe reset some of our core values even, or the agendas that, you know, we want to live by. So what would you hope to see in these, you know, shovel-ready projects, I suppose?
I think it's really important that, you know, we give real meaning to this idea of rebuilding and resetting. And New Zealand has had other opportunities to do that. The big one was following the Christchurch earthquakes. And, you know, there was a big intention that the opportunity to rebuild Christchurch would be done in a really inclusive way. And some things were done in an inclusive way, but many say that the city could be even more accessible and that there were some lost opportunities. And what I don't want to see through this current shovel-ready initiative is for opportunities to be lost to create a more inclusive New Zealand. So I'd like to see that there is meaningful participation of disabled people and disability-related organisations to get advice on universal design. I would love to see that some of the criteria for evaluating shovel-ready projects include criteria around universal design. I'd like to see that there's a real lens on accessibility and inclusion built into the assessment process for applications that are fast-tracked under proposed changes to the Resource Management Act, and also when local government, who will be a big partner in this, are implementing their projects. You know, if you really think about universal design from the beginning, we know that it can save costs in the end and create greater social inclusion, which is great for New Zealand.
When it comes down to these conversations, is it also an issue that there might not be those people who are directly affected by, you know, this inaccessibility in the positions who are making these decisions and making these designs and that sort of thing? And would it also be fair to say that perhaps as a country we have to have a conversation? So when you say, you know, one in six people might need some sort of adaptation to their house or something, you have five out of six people who would never have to think about that, but actually as a country we need to have that conversation. And perhaps that goes back to having, you know, learnings in school about different ways of accessing things.
Oh, I absolutely agree that New Zealand needs to have a conversation about disability, and for a larger number of New Zealanders to really understand what it's like to face barriers in life. And rather ironically, I think, you know, most New Zealanders in the last couple of months, particularly in level four of the lockdown, actually did get to experience restrictions on activities and isolation and being excluded from daily life. And you know, that is how things can be for many disabled people. I think, you know, 24% of New Zealand's population are disabled. That's over 1 million people. Now, those 1 million people have family and friends and networks. And so, actually, we should be able to think about it much more coherently than we do. So, while it's only 1 million, that is a large percentage of our population, and we're all connected to people. So, I don't think it's right that we shouldn't be able to think through these things. But you're right that decision makers who will be making decisions about shovel-ready projects, local authorities, don't necessarily have disabled people making those decisions. And so that's why it's really important to make sure disabled people are involved, and that some of those principles of universal design and accessibility are really built into the process, so that even if you are not familiar with disability, you are required to take those things into account through this process.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Is there anything you would like to add?
You know, there are a couple of things that the government has signalled around accessibility. One is in 2018, Cabinet signed off on a series of work for government agencies to explore how disabled people can achieve full accessibility right across a range of activities. And earlier last year, the government released a document called the Guide to Designing Accessible Public Buildings. And so, you know, I think that there's a foundation there that can be built from, and I would just encourage everybody who is involved in a really practical sense around rebuilding New Zealand at this time to really take the opportunity to think about universal design and accessibility, and really think about how do people designing the built environment create it in such a way that it can be used by as many people as possible. And that's when we have an inclusive New Zealand, and that's when we start to break down barriers for the participation of disabled people.
That was Paula Tisseros. We are going to go to a break shortly, but I have a couple of texts in, very long ones. Let me read through this. The first one regarding the New Zealand First interview regarding donations, they say, and New Zealand First are not the only party under investigation by the SFO for this. The SFO has the ability to both fine and put people in jail. We need to deter people and parties considering this by showing them they will end up in jail, like the National Party one. Rich businessmen donating where fines will show absolutely no deterrent for corruption, like a built-in cost to put them in jail and tighten the rules, or corruption will take hold. Yes, indeed, that's correct. The National Party has also been under investigation from the Serious Fraud Office. So again, that's why I sort of pointed out that doesn't necessarily seem to be a kind of targeted thing on New Zealand First. This is a conversation that people, I think, are trying to have. Moving on now, the Human Rights Commission is calling for more inclusive design when considering shovel-ready projects in the COVID-19 rebuild. Disability Rights Commissioner Paula Tesorero has called on the government to ensure that accessibility and universal design will be considered in all stages of confirming those shovel-ready projects. I spoke to Paula to find out more about what they hope this will look like and why this is such an issue in the first place.
Yeah, so my role as the Disability Rights Commissioner is a role which is a statutory role under the Human Rights Act, and the focus of the role is to promote and protect the rights of disabled New Zealanders. And we say disabled New Zealanders rather than people with disabilities, because in New Zealand we subscribe to what's called the social model, which basically says I'm not disabled by the individual impairment that I have, but rather it's the barriers that society puts in place, be those physical barriers, information barriers, and a whole range of systemic barriers. And so what that hopefully focuses the mind on is everybody has a responsibility and an opportunity to break down those barriers for disabled people to meaningfully participate in life.
Absolutely. So I guess with that, and we're talking a lot about shovel-ready projects today, and that would be, I guess, construction. So could you give us a bit of an idea or some context to those barriers that you've just mentioned in a built environment?
Absolutely. So in New Zealand, we do not have fully accessible cities. And you know, those that the sorts of barriers that can exist will be inaccessible entrances to buildings, be those public buildings, private buildings, the ability for disabled people to go to any restaurant of choice or any place of choice are often really restricted. And, you know, even being able to go and take your disabled child to a playground, you know, if that playground is not accessible and the built environment is not one that is accommodating, then actually everybody misses out. And it's not just about the individual disabled person missing out, it's wider members of their family who would be doing activities with them, and it's also society at large. You know, an inclusive society we know is better for everyone, and economically it's much better if the owners or service providers of different places can get the widest number of people using their services and products.
Mm. And it's not even, I suppose, a matter of trying to understand the value of that, whether it be financially or socially. It's simply a matter of right or wrong whether any person can enter a public building or any building.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is about the ability to participate meaningfully in life. And when the built environment is constructed in such a way that it excludes disabled people, then we miss the opportunity to have a really inclusive New Zealand. Mm. And that's why I've taken the opportunity to really try and get some messaging out there as New Zealanders thinking about the rebuild of New Zealand in this COVID environment that we're in, to remind people that, you know, universal design is a way of making sure that buildings and infrastructure and services, signage, transport, you name it, all of those things can be much better when they are designed for as many people as possible.
Mm. And I guess, I want to come to the kind of future discussion, but I want to touch on that point about universal design, because it's my understanding that universal design is not actually, you know, like a compulsory thing as part of a consents process. Is that correct?
Yeah, universal design is really a way of incorporating design principles that are about designing something so that the maximum number of people can use it. And so in this case, it's about disabled people, it's about older New Zealanders, it's about families with pushed chairs with babies in. It's, you know, really trying to cater for the largest number of people. And so it's a design process that is used. And if you make buildings designed from that universal perspective, it's also easier much later to adapt them and make them very specifically accessible. So it also future-proofs buildings and infrastructure.
Mm. There was, I'm not sure if you remember this, but when they started with the Kiwi Build projects, for example, there was some concern that a lot of those buildings weren't universally accessible. Do you have thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. And look, I've been advocating with government for some time now around the Kiwi Build. There's a 15% target there of homes being universally designed. I'd like the target to be much greater. You know, the right to housing is a core fundamental human right, and in New Zealand it's estimated that only 2% of our housing stock is accessible for disabled people, yet 1 in 6 people require some sort of modification to their home. So, you know, I have been inundated in my time in the role with stories of disabled people who simply cannot access housing to suit their needs. And so there are stories of people who don't have an accessible bathroom, so have to try and use a shower at work, or, you know, those sorts of things. And, you know, it's such a core fundamental right, and I think that we can do a lot better if we design with those universal principles in mind through our housing program.
And I guess, yes, going back to those shovel-ready projects, there are so many conversations happening at the moment about the way in which we choose to rebuild or kind of move forward from this crisis. And lots of people are saying it is an opportunity, right, to kind of maybe reset some of our core values even, or the agendas that, you know, we want to live by. So what would you hope to see in these, you know, shovel-ready projects, I suppose?
I think it's really important that, you know, we give real meaning to this idea of rebuilding and resetting. And New Zealand has had other opportunities to do that. The big one was following the Christchurch earthquakes. And, you know, there was a big intention that the opportunity to rebuild Christchurch would be done in a really inclusive way. And some things were done in an inclusive way, but many say that the city could be even more accessible and that there were some lost opportunities. And what I don't want to see through this current shovel-ready initiative is for opportunities to be lost to create a more inclusive New Zealand. So I'd like to see that there is meaningful participation of disabled people and disability-related organisations to get advice on universal design. I would love to see that some of the criteria for evaluating shovel-ready projects include criteria around universal design. I'd like to see that there's a real lens on accessibility and inclusion built into the assessment process for applications that are fast-tracked under proposed changes to the Resource Management Act, and also when local government, who will be a big partner in this, are implementing their projects. You know, if you really think about universal design from the beginning, we know that it can save costs in the end and create greater social inclusion, which is great for New Zealand.
When it comes down to these conversations, is it also an issue that there might not be those people who are directly affected by, you know, this inaccessibility in the positions who are making these decisions and making these designs and that sort of thing? And would it also be fair to say that perhaps as a country we have to have a conversation? So when you say, you know, 1 in 6 people might need some sort of adaptation to their house or something, you have 5 out of 6 people who would never have to think about that, but actually as a country we need to have that conversation. And perhaps that goes back to having, you know, learnings in school about different ways of accessing things.
Oh, I absolutely agree that New Zealand needs to have a conversation about disability, and for a larger number of New Zealanders to really understand what it's like to face barriers in life. And rather ironically, I think, you know, most New Zealanders in the last couple of months, particularly in level 4 of the lockdown, actually did get to experience restrictions on activities and isolation and being excluded from daily life. And you know, that is how things can be for many disabled people. I think, you know, 24% of New Zealand's population are disabled. that's over 1 million people. Now, those 1 million people have family and friends and networks. And so, actually, we should be able to think about it much more coherently than we do. So while it's only 1 million, that is a large percentage of our population, and we're all connected to people. So I don't think it's right that we shouldn't be able to think through these things. But you're right that decision makers who will be making decisions about shovel-ready projects, local authorities, don't necessarily have disabled people making those decisions. And so that's why it's really important to make sure disabled people are involved, and that some of those principles of universal design and accessibility are really built into the process, so that even if you are not familiar with disability, you are required to take those things into account through this process.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Is there anything you would like to add?
You know, there are a couple of things that the government has signalled around accessibility. One is in 2018, Cabinet signed off on a series of work for government agencies to explore how disabled people can achieve full accessibility right across a range of activities. And earlier last year, the government released a document called The Guide to Designing Accessible Public Buildings. And so, you know, I think that there's a foundation there that can be built from, and I would just encourage everybody who is involved in a really practical sense around rebuilding New Zealand at this time to really take the opportunity to think about universal design and accessibility, and really think about how do people designing the built environment created in such a way that it can be used by as many people as possible. And that's when we have an inclusive New Zealand, and that's when we start to break down barriers for the participation of disabled people.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.